Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and on today's Basic Gospel program, we begin a new study edition through the Simple Gospel Simply Grace Study Guide, based on Bob Christopher's excellent book of the same name. I hope you have your copy and can follow along with us each week. If not, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel Simply Grace link right on the right-hand side of our homepage. There you can order both the book or the study guide, or both. Now, this is a study edition, so we will not be taking live phone calls today. However, the listener line is always open, so you can get your questions to us by voicemail at 844-322-2742. So if you have questions or issues over the weekend that you'd like us to discuss, or if you hear something during the broadcast you don't quite understand, we cordially invite you to leave us a voicemail with your question or your issue. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's time for Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And here to get us started is my friend, Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I am so excited about this particular study in writing the book a number of years ago. Just kind of rethinking through all the things that I've said I believed and then diving deep into what the Word of God says, just kind of confirmed that in several cases, it clarified some things I wasn't saying correctly. So the writing of this book was a marvelous experience for me. And we're going through this particular study at this time because this book is 5 years old. It was August 1st of 2015, 2015 that this book was released. So it's been out on the market for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And we just want to go back through it to kind of dive in again and
well,
see
it's a great story, confirming your life, early life.
To see what the grace of God is all about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible is really a story of grace from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. If we want to have any connection to God, if we want to have any real meaning and purpose to life, we need to understand what the grace of God is all about. Apart from that, we have no hope. Right. There is no hope for us to get connected with God, to really find out what human life is supposed to be really about as God designed it. So a number of years ago when I was in college, I went to the University of Georgia and was really looking forward to getting there, getting in my dorm. And as the day drew closer, I started praying and said, Lord, this is an opportunity, a clean slate, and I want to show you that I can be your guy. I want to be God's guy. That was the desire of my heart, and I was going to show him. So I made a vow to God, and it went something like this. God, I know I've been a disappointment to you. Thank you for a clean slate and for the opportunity to start fresh in college. From this day forward, I promise to be your guy. Yeah. Now, that was a sincere prayer. That was from the heart. I really wanted to be God's guy. Now, I didn't know how I was going to go about that. I didn't know what that would look like if I was successful. But that was my desire, and that was my end goal. And I started out reading the Bible. I thought, you know, if I'm going to be God's guy, I need to be reading the Bible. So I started a Bible reading plan. I thought I needed to be going to church, so I found a church there in Athens. Most college students don't go to churches, at least back in that day. But I found a church and started getting involved there, doing everything that I knew to do to be God's guy. And that lasted for about a quarter. Yeah. My vow to God was virtually worthless. I couldn't live up to it. I couldn't keep it. And so, you know, as we start this journey through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I want to ask you, our listeners, a couple of questions right up front. Have you ever in your life made some type of vow to God, some promise to him that you were going to do better and be better as a believer in Christ? And if so, what was motivating that vow? What was motivating that promise to God? Was it your guilt? Was it fear of punishment? Was it just this desire that you wanted to do better, that you needed to do better? What was motivating those promises? The second question is this. I've already express my failure. I fell flat on my face. Now I'd pick myself up and give it another go, and then I'd fall flat again, and then I'd pick myself up and give it another go until finally, after 2 or 3 years of trying that path, I just gave up. Mm-hmm. I just threw up my hands and says, Lord, I can't do this, so I'm going to have to find another way. And in the meantime, I'm just going to, you know, give in to the temptations. Yeah. I mean, that's all I've been doing anyway. So I guess I'm just resigned to that way of life, unless you have something else for me. So I wasn't able to live up to my promises to God. Let me ask you, were you able to live up to your promises to God? And then the third question, as we get started here, is this. Have you ever asked God for a fresh start in life? If so, what did you hope would change in your life? What were you hoping to see improved? What did you want to let go of? What did you want to grab hold of in life? So if you've ever asked God for a fresh start, if you did that, what did you hope would change in your life? And for me, I wanted the strength to say no to sin. I wanted the strength to say no to those temptations. As a matter of fact, I wanted to be able to walk in a room filled with temptations and not be tempted at all. That's what I was hoping would change in my life. Now, talk about an unrealistic expectation. Talk about delusional. That is absolutely delusional. But that's what I was hoping. That I would just be strong enough that sin and those temptations that are out there in the world would have no effect on me, would have no pull in my life whatsoever.
Strengthen the flesh, in other words. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And boy, like I said, that is an unrealistic expectation.
Absolutely. Well, it is the first installment of our excellent new study, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, through the study guide of the same name. And friends, it's a resource that has helped so many people arrive at a new and exciting place in their lives, as Bob has been explaining. Simply stated, through many struggles in his early life, Bob came to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about doing better and trying harder to please God, but about simply resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the way your Christian life is supposed to work. The simple gospel is simply grace, and we invite you to enter into that same gospel of grace that Bob entered into, which is Jesus alone. To get your copy of the book or the study guide or both, we're studying through, of course, the study guide here on these Friday sessions. We'll just click the link on our homepage, basicgospel.net, and order your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and allow God's grace to do its work in your life as Bob did. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. So as we're going through this, one of the passages that really was an eye-opener for me and really described my experience was Romans chapter 7. Mm-hmm. And I have said time and time again, I felt like I was trapped in Romans 7, and I couldn't get into Romans chapter 8 where the victory is. Yeah. Now, in Romans 7:18, we read this, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Now, that was my life. When I made that vow to God my freshman year of college at the University of Georgia, I had the desire to be God's guy. I wanted that. That was what my heart was saying that I needed to be. And what I found out is that I could not carry it out. And the reason I could not carry it out, because I was trying to be God's guy through human effort. I was trying to make it happen. I was trying to bring it about. I was trying to reach that goal through my own strength, my own understanding, and I just couldn't do it. So I had the desire. The desire was there, but the ability was not. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. So I've talked to so many people through the years, and almost every single person, when they read Romans 7 and really kind of look at it for what it says, starting in verse 14 all the way down to the end of the chapter, they're like, that's me. Yeah. That's me. So ask the question, is this verse descriptive of your experience as a believer in Christ? Has this ever described a time in your life? Is it describing your current situation? Are you stuck in Romans 7 and don't know how it's possible for you to get out of Romans 7 into Romans 8? So that's the question.
Yeah.
So how did you try to change so that you could carry out what was good? So we have that desire. We go down a certain path, and we don't get very far. So we try to regroup, rethink, reimagine, and take a different path. So if you've done that, what path did you try? How did you try to carry that out? And then the next question, based on this Romans 7 passage, is this. Have you ever reached a point in your life where you just had to resign yourself to sin, that no matter how hard you tried, sin was having its way with you, and that there was no way to escape that? I know many of us have tried diets, and we've tried to lose weight, and we come to a point and say, it's just not going to happen for me. I just can't do it. Well, I think that's a pretty good illustration, a pretty good analogy when it comes to sin. We try to overcome, we try to manage it, we try to do everything we can to keep it out of our lives, but it just keeps showing up, and the more we try to get rid of it, it seems the stronger it becomes in our lives. That's just the very nature of sin. That's the power that's inherent in sin. So I came to that point, I just raised my hands in utter frustration and said, Lord, I can't do this. Yeah. If Romans 7 is where I have to live, I'm just going to resign myself to it, knowing that I have the desire to do good, but it's just impossible for me to carry it out. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I left it. And then something happened with a friend of mine that really sobered me up, that brought me to a point in my life that made me say, I can't continue down this path. Something has to give. Lord, I've tried to be your guy, but I have failed time and time again. I know you're the answer. I know you're the one that I need. I know I need to learn some truth about you that I don't currently know. So I am open to hearing what you have to say, what you want to teach me about what it means to be a Christian and how to live the Christian life.
Yeah.
And as I prayed that, I got involved with a Bible study in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and the teacher, a guy named Dan DeHaan, was leading the group through the book of Colossians. And boy, as he got into Colossians 2, everything clicked for me.
Yeah.
That this life that we're to live is to be lived by faith. Now, I was trying to live it through human effort. I was trying my best to make it happen through my strength, my abilities, and that wasn't working. And I was like those people that Paul addressed in his letter to the Galatians. And in chapter 3, he wrote this, "How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" That was me.
Yeah.
And this letter was written directly to me. And if you've been trapped in Romans 7, if you've tried to live the Christian life through your human effort, then this book of Galatians, this particular passage in chapter 3, is written to you as well. And so we ask a very good question here, Bob. He says, after starting the Christian life in the Spirit, so how do we start the Christian life?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. We hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We hear about his death, the fact that he died for our sins. We hear about the fact that he was buried and that on the third day he was raised back to life. We hear about the fact that he ascended and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we hear that as a result of that, he is now offering to us forgiveness in life. And it's a gift. It's something that we receive. It's not something that we earn. It's something that we receive. And when we receive it, then God's Spirit does his work inside of us. God's Spirit regenerates us. He gives us a new spirit, and then he comes to live inside of us. So now we are no longer in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit. And so we have a brand new way of life, not one through human effort, but one through the Spirit of God. That's how we now serve in the newness of life, by the power of God's Spirit. So that's how we began.
Yes.
Now, for me, I began at a church youth camp in between the summers of my sixth grade year and my seventh grade year. And I went to this camp, and I didn't go to the camp for spiritual answers. I just wanted to go for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. But on that last night, as we entered into the auditorium, something was different about that auditorium. And the pastor, he portrayed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Paul said to the Galatians. I portrayed to you the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in vivid detail. You knew that it was his work that saved you. You knew that it was all on Jesus's shoulders, that it had nothing to do with you. You simply received what he has provided as a result of his finished work on the cross. Well, that's what happened to me at that youth camp. Boy, the crucifixion of Christ was vividly portrayed. We saw in this pastor, long hair and a beard, and he actually, you know, physically portrayed, acted out what the cross might have been like. And we felt some of that agony. And boy, I knew after that that evening that I needed Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I needed him like no one else. Now, I didn't go to the camp trying to find spiritual answers. I wasn't asking, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? But God loved me enough that he told me that I needed his son Jesus.
Yeah.
And I received him that night. Now, I didn't know exactly what had happened to me. I knew something had happened to me, but I wasn't sure what it was. I was kind of like Mary when all these things happened with her around the birth of Christ. She pondered them in her heart, and that's what I did. I pondered all of that in my heart and really didn't talk about what had happened to me at that church camp until several years later. Now, I didn't have much discipleship after that. I didn't have much input as to what it means to be a Christian and how to live out the Christian life. So I just tried to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Now, that's where so many believers are today.
Mm-hmm.
They know that they've been saved by grace through faith. They know they've received a free gift. But now what do you do? Now how do you go about living in this world as a child of God? And so I began in the Spirit, and then I tried to perfect myself through human effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so this passage that Paul delivered to the Galatians, boy, it just hit me right in the forehead,
yeah.
You know, with a big 2x4 and said, wake up, man, there's another way.
Yeah.
And it's the way of grace. And if you will let me teach you, I will show you what this way of grace is all about.
Well, this is the first edition, first study session of our new study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, friends. And I want to say this is just a wonderful opportunity for you to reach out to your friends and family and say there is a new study starting on Basic Gospel that just started just today. And they can access it if they go to basicgospel.net/teaching. That's our archive. And each session as we move through the weeks will be posted there at basicgospel.net/teaching. So take advantage of that. Share with your family and your friends. And friends, your support of Basic Gospel is vital if we're to continue to produce programming and resources to help you and others hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. Countless people around the world need to hear that the great God of heaven loves them and has provided a way for them to live forever in his loving care. That's the Basic Gospel message that we proclaim to the world every day as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of keeping this good news coming for everyone who has ears to hear. We hope you'll make your gift online today at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, you are listening to Basic Gospel, everybody, and back we go to Bob Christopher to continue in this exciting study we call Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. So, as I was saying, my first grace encounter was at that church camp. And like I said, I wasn't there to get answers to spiritual questions, but God loved me enough to show me that I needed his son. So that was my first encounter of grace. It was just simply receiving the love of God. Now, like I said, I didn't know what to do with that afterwards. I didn't know how to live the Christian life. So I just relied on human effort. I relied on my strength, my abilities. And I had to come to a point my senior year in college where I said, Lord, this is not the way to live the Christian life. So I want to ask you, our listeners, are you willing to admit that human effort, the path of trying harder, doing better, being better, is not the way to live the Christian life? I think we all have to be humbled in our lives and come to that point and say, Lord, I don't have this figured out.
Yeah, really.
I thought I had it figured out, but I don't have it figured out at all. And so I need you. Just like I needed you to save me, I need you to be the source of my new life, of this new life that I have in you. So are you willing to admit that human effort is not the way to live the Christian life? Now, when I made that admission, that confession to the Lord, and started going to this Bible study, it's like the Lord took me all the way back to that youth camp. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want to show you what grace is all about. And I want to take you back to that first encounter that you had with my grace that night, that evening, when you said yes and you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, when I went that night, I was a hyperactive kid. My first grade year, I went, I'd get my work done and I'd talk and, just do all sorts of things. And I would flit around and I could never stay focused on one singular thing.
I just can't imagine that.
Well, and that was kind of my life all the way through elementary school and junior high and high school. But I tell you, that night at that youth camp, man, that message just grabbed a hold of my mind, and I could think of nothing else except the fact that Christ died for my sins. So that was the part of the gospel message that really captured my heart, that God loved me enough that he sent Jesus to die in my place. Now, the verse that best described this, and I certainly didn't know this verse at the time, but it's as if the Spirit of God was etching this on my mind. And it is this, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us, and this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. So what I want to do as we close out today's broadcast and close out today's study in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, is to simply ask you to go back to your first grace encounter, to the moment when the grace of God became real in your life, when you first knew that Jesus Christ loved you. And I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about the verse in the Bible that best describes your first grace encounter. And I think as you go back to that very beginning and the verse that really describes that, then that's going to open up a door for you to see the way of grace on how to live this Christian life.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, what a great study, what a great first edition. So thank you for all those thoughts, and thank you for living that life that you did early on and for coming to that realization that you couldn't do it on your own, but the Lord Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, friends, thank you for being with us today for the study edition of Basic Gospel. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace link on our homepage, the website, basicgospel.net, and you'll be ready for next Friday's study. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership in this gospel message to keep the good news coming. Donate now or over the weekend at basicgospel.net. It's your ministry, too, friends, so let's all pull together. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join Bob Christopher Sunday morning for Sunday Morning Live, 9:30 Central, Sunday Morning Live, just linked by Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's the links, basicgospel.net, Facebook, and YouTube. Link at the top of the homepage. And join Bob for Sunday Morning Live this coming Sunday morning. Well, so long for now, everybody. Stay safe and have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.